John 10, starting at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will also listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason, my Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. Okay, there we go. Sheep and shepherds. They feature a lot in the Bible, don't they? Yeah, and we've just read a little bit about it. And Jay, hopefully, if his voice lasts, will be talking to us about sheep and shepherds. But it's good, isn't it, to learn a little bit more about kind of the Bible times. Because is there any sheep farmers here this morning? No. Well, actually, there might be. There might be. Because Jay and I have got this little thing going on at the minute, okay, and I need your help. I've got this really good idea. Okay, you know the size of the lawn at the vicarage? Yeah, it's pretty big, isn't it? And it takes a long time to cut it, as many of you know, because you've helped over the years. Well, I love sheep. I just think they're so cute. And I've got this like little dream idea of having this little lamb that I can bottle feed and raise, and it could be a lovely pet. And I thought maybe we could have a couple in the vicarage garden, and then we don't need to bother with mowing the lawn. So we're going to take a vote, yeah? Anyone in favour, put your hands up. Oh, Jay. Hang on, my own daughter hasn't got her hand up. Pet sheep, Miriam, yeah. Anyone with Jay and say no? No sheep in the vicarage. Sadly, I don't think it's going to happen, but it is a little dream that I have, but maybe I need to retire on a Welsh farm somewhere, I don't know. So I need two volunteers for this, and in the absence of any of our lovely children or young people, we might have to call on some grown-ups. You've not got to do anything except hold up a sign. Miriam, can you do one for me? Oh, Fiona, thank you. Do you want to kind of stand there in front of the aroma of cress from the Easter Garden? And Fiona, if you just stand up on the platform, Mim, and then people can... Yeah, exactly. Okay, so we're going to learn a little bit about sheep this morning. Okay, who thinks they know a lot about sheep? No. Yeah. See, I don't eat them. They're too cute. They're too cute to eat, so I don't eat them. Okay, so how this is going to work is if more people are shouting the word false, Miriam, you raise yours up. And if more people are shouting the word true, Fiona's going to raise hers up. Yeah? Okay, so the first question is, a shepherd is a person who tends to the group of sheep while they are out in the pasture. True. Well done. Okay. Now, we're going to get a bit more tricky. That was just an easy one. A group of sheep is called a herd. They're too good. What are they called then? A flock. Well done. Okay. In the New Testament, shepherds were normally young men in their 20s and 30s. True or false? Young men in their 20s and 30s. Indeed, it is false. Yeah, they were generally teenagers, maybe even your age, Miriam, sent out into the fields to look after the sheep. See, there we go, Jay. It'd be like Bible times. Miriam could be our shepherdess. In the vicarage garden. It's not working, is it? No. Okay, so our pupils, you know that little bit, black bit in the middle of our eye, what shape are they? What shape are our pupils? They're round, aren't they? Sheep's pupils are rectangular. Ooh, ooh, ooh. What are we going with, people? John's shouting true. Helen was a teacher and she's shouting false. It's actually true. Yeah, they're rectangles. So we've all learned something today, haven't we? Okay. Biblical shepherds would build very tall fences around their flocks to keep out the wolves. True or false? Very tall fences. Indeed, it was false. There were no fences. And just to finish off, sheep do not have teeth in their upper front jaw. There's no teeth in their upper front jaw. It's actually true. It's actually true. So there we go. Now you know all about sheep. Thank you very much, ladies.
And on a different note, sometimes the fourth Sunday of Easter is known as Good Shepherd Sunday, because it's always on this particular Sunday that the gospel reading comes from the 10th chapter of John, where Jesus talks about himself as being the Good Shepherd. And as we've heard, shepherds did many different things for their sheep. But Jesus, in the story, emphasizes the self-sacrificing element in his life. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, he says. First, he contrasts the good shepherd as somebody who actually owns the sheep towards someone who's simply hired to look after them. The hired hand who's not the shepherd and doesn't own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep and runs away because a hired hand doesn't care for the sheep. The hired man thinks more about himself and his own welfare, but Jesus is not going to be like a hired person because he says, I lay down my life for the sheep. Maybe there he's contrasting himself with some of the more mercenary leaders of the day among his own people. And there are some of those mercenaries to be found in every religious group who do maybe what's expected of them, but they don't have a real commitment or sense of responsibility to those who are in their charge. But Jesus knows his sheep. I am the good shepherd, he says. I know my own. So there's a bond of love and intimacy that's going on there. And that love compares to the deep mutual relationship that there is between Jesus and God the Father. And again, the hired man is not going to have the same sort of relationship with his charges. And then the good shepherd simply desires that many other sheep should come to identify themselves with him. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. And that's the ultimate goal, that the whole world will be united together under God as Lord. And that's the meaning of the kingdom, which is the heart at the heart of that gospel message. And it's a goal which still exercises our minds and our hearts today. There are still so many millions of people out there who haven't heard the message about a loving God, a God who will send his only son to die for them. People often seek meaning and happiness in their lives by pursuing all sorts of different kinds of goals, which inevitably are going to turn to nothing. Maybe material wealth or power in the sight of others, maybe power over us even, people mistaking pleasure for happiness. And in doing that, they are rejecting Jesus as the Good Shepherd. And no matter how closely we follow in the footsteps of our shepherd, in fact, the more we follow him, the more likely it is that we will be rejected and even attacked. We had a really good session on Friday night with Holy Trinity Youth, where we were thinking about standing up for ourselves and thinking about the courage that it takes to actually convey our own thoughts and opinions across. And we worked out that sometimes that's actually a really hard thing to do, for us to stand up truly for what we believe. But there are still so many people who will claim Jesus as Lord, many of them being really good and sincere people, but they can be divided but amongst themselves. And here, more than anywhere, there's a need for us all to follow one shepherd and form one flock. Otherwise, how can we give witness to the love of Christ if that love is lacking amongst us as Christians? As well, there are those who are incorporated by their baptism into the body of Christ, but they consistently behave in a way that distorts other people's understanding of Jesus and his call to discipleship, fulfillment of life and happiness. Probably most of us, including myself, have failed at some point to give witness to the truth and the love that is to be found in Jesus. But Jesus willingly laid down his life for the sheep. He did it through his own will, not just by a force of circumstance. He actually deliberately made that choice. And his death is to be the living proof. In John chapter 15, we read, "No one has a greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." And that's the proof that Jesus truly is the Good Shepherd. And on the face of it, sometimes it seems as though the life and the mission of Jesus at times just seem to be a complete failure. Even his disciples, his friends, his admirers, even his own family must have shaken their heads in sorrow and bewilderment as they saw Jesus die on the cross. And even Jesus himself on the cross said the words, "It is finished." But for him, those words had a completely different meaning. And as Jesus himself says, "I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again." Jesus, fully human, fully divine. And that first reading from the book of Acts contains part of a sermon, if you like, that Peter was giving in the temple after he and John had cured a crippled beggar at one of the temple gates. And the healing of that man took place in the name of Jesus through the ministry of Peter and John. And there again, it's proof that Jesus is risen and working among us, curing and healing. Today, on Good Shepherd Sunday, is also a day sometimes when we think about calling or vocation, what it means to be a sheep who follows the shepherd. And quite often we think of the word vocation as being a sense of calling to a ministry of some kind, but it goes far deeper than that. In fact, every single one of us has a vocation. For most of us, we're probably fulfilling or living out our vocation right here, right now. Maybe it's as a partner, a spouse. Maybe we're living out a vocation as a teacher or a parent, a doctor, a civil servant. Maybe we're living out our vocation by running a business, by selling things to other people. So many other identities that we could take upon ourselves that mean that we're actually living out that vocation or that calling. But perhaps there are some questions we could be asking ourselves today. Am I spending my energies on fulfilling my vocation every day? Is this really what God wants me to be doing with my life? Or is there something else? How is what I'm doing giving witness to my Christian faith? What contribution am I making to make this world a better place for other people to live in? How am I spreading truth, love, justice, freedom? Am I in a position which means it's difficult to change? It's hard being a partner. It's hard being a parent. Sometimes it's hard to hold down a particular job. And how is God calling me to a greater sense of service within my church and my community? Am I giving something through the life I live, or am I just using society or even the church to get what I want? I believe that God calls every single one of us to work for the good of the gospel. And yes, for a certain number, it may be in a ministry of some kind, and that call can come at any time during our lives. But there are hundreds of other ways of serving the church and helping to build up the Christian community. So a prayer for today. Loving God, where are you calling me to make my own contribution based on the particular talents that you've given me? What are you asking of me, Lord? How can I respond? Maybe if every one of us were to answer that question sincerely and to act upon it, it's likely that our church would have all the leadership it needs. So let's just pause and let's pray. Loving God, each one of us is equipped with unique gifts and talents to live out our vocation to serve you. Fill our hearts with Holy Spirit that we may see and discern that call that you have on our lives, that we will seek to follow you with hearts filled, set on fire for loving service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.